welcome to a three-inning save podcast. I can't decide if it's a three-inning podcast or the. Let's go definitive. Well,
there's no other three-inning save podcast, so we are
well,
the
well, it's, it's ours. We have multiple episodes.
This is a...
Like, but I'll say the. Because I used to say the other name. So
I also think we should start saying, like, each year's worth of our podcast is going to start, it's going to be a series like British television. And so welcome to this series of three and
we did it in 2006. Is that the first 13?
We are old, but like we're not that
series
old.
Nine, here we go. Nice. The Dodgers made a little bit of business, but not a ton. Been a lot of very quiet week. But it's a very anticipatory episode because spring training is right around the corner. So we're going to catch you up and get you ready for that all after this.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Before we look ahead to spring training, we have a bit of news to catch up us for you to catch us up on. There you go.
Yeah, we it's been a couple weeks since we last recorded. The Dodgers signed Teoscar Hernandez the last time. He was like the freshest move. Plus, all the arbitration stuff was happening. The only real like things that happened like since then is that they did add the other starting pitcher that we sort of assumed they would. It's just a matter of who it was going to be, and it turns out it's going to be James Paxton.
And I think this fits the bill of kind of what we were thinking about.
Right. Not like a break-the-bank guy. It's not some of the, like, he was a free agent, one-year deal. Some of the trade guys are more higher-end and would have had a higher cost prospect-wise, that sort of thing. So, like, yeah. And he sort of also fits the mold of like, you know, a guy who's very good or usually pretty good when he's on the mound, but he's also had a lot of injuries. And so like, they're just get all these guys, a lot of them are going to be healthy at the same time sometimes. And then like, you just figure it out. But like,
and that lets you rotate in your younger guys, but not be over reliant on him in an ideal world. Obviously, as we found out, last year and year before, pitchers can all be hurt at the same time and bad times happen. But probably not going to happen again. Knock on wood.
If you're just sort of listing out the depth chart or whatever, in whatever order, I mean, I'm assuming this is sort of the order, but it's Yoshinobu, Yamamoto, Tyler Glasnow, those are the new guys, the new expensive guys. Walker Buehler coming back from Tommy John. Bobby Miller after an impressive rookie season. And now Paxton. Now, I think we don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but Dave Roberts has mentioned multiple times, like during the offseason, that, you know, they might slow play Buehler and keep him in Arizona, like for extended spring training. He's not going to pitch a full seasons of innings, right? Coming off Tommy John, hasn't pitched since 2022, middle of the year. So like, he's going to be limited in some capacity. It's just a matter of when. And so you could see a scenario where he might not even be in that opening five, but then that's where they, like the other guys fit in, like Emmett Sheehan, Gavin Stone, and like the bevy of like other pitchers on the 40 man.
Right.
So like, you know, and then Paxton, like he fits into that too. He had Tommy John in 2021. He only had one start that year and then missed the rest of the year. Did not pitch in 2022. Came back in 2023 with the Red Sox. He made 19 starts. Now it's like 4.50 ERA. His expected numbers were a little better, 3.77, but like they were even better than that before, like mid August when he hurt his knee. Like in his first 16 starts, his ERA was 3.34. He had a 26% strikeout rate. Last three starts were very bad after the knee injury, and then he ended up missing the last 3 weeks of the year on the injured list. He also missed the first 6 weeks last year with a hamstring strain. So 2020, 60-day IL with a flexor strain. That was also prior to the Tommy John, so those things tend to be related. But if you look, he's had 11 years in the majors. That's counting 2022 when he didn't pitch. He's topped out at 160 and a third innings. More than 96 innings only four times, all of those from 2016 to 2019. He was very good in that time, a 3.60 ERA, a 3.16 FIP. He averaged 25 starts, 142 innings, and 167 strikeouts. I think if the Dodgers got that, even without that like gaudy strikeout total, they would probably jump for joy, like getting 25. They literally did not get 25 starts from anyone last year. Did Kershaw hit 25? I forget. Anyway, if you look at the contract that Paxton signed, so it's a 1 year deal. First reported as $11 million. Turns out the guarantee is smaller than that because James Paxton has injury history, and like even more so than they probably thought. At first, it was reported 11 year deal. He's not Yamamoto-ing this. 11 million for 1 year, but up to 2 million in bonuses to go, you know, maximum of 13 million. The deal was finalized Monday. It's still a maximum of 13 million if he hits all the bonuses, but the guarantee is only 7 million. On Wednesday, Fabian Ardaia and Ken Rosenthal at The Athletic noted that they reported it as a quote unspecified health issue. And also in the article, too, it's funny, like both Scott Boras, Paxton's agent, and the Dodgers declined comment citing HIPAA, violations. And that's one of the rare instances where it's actually the correct application of that excuse. rather than like, oh, I'm not going to say anything, it's HIPAA. And say, no, it's not. But like, whatever. So now it's a $7 million guarantee. I love, I don't know. Oh, this is also how it was worded in the Rosenthal Ardaia piece at The Athletic. Quote, "The issue, while not serious enough to scuttle the deal, resulted in a reworking of the structure of the contract," unquote. I love the minutiae of contracts like this, and this has been reported by both The Athletic, The Associated Press. So he gets $2 million if he's on the active roster on opening day. That could be opening day in South Korea on March 20th or domestic opening day on March 28th when the Dodgers are home to play the Cardinals. If he's not active then, he gets $1 million if he's active on or before April 15th. So that's like the $2 million part of it. The other $4 million in incentives are based on starts. He gets $600,000 each for 6, 8, 10, 12, and 16 starts. So that totals $3 million potentially. And then 1 million if he makes 18 starts. He made 19 last year. Now, if Paxton does not hit those early active roster bonuses, he can make that 2 million if he gets to 20 starts. So, like, basically, if he gets 20 starts, he maxes out. Like, and again, I they would probably take whatever they can get, but like, getting 20 starts, that's probably about what you'd expect from that. And just to close that loop, Clayton Kershaw did make 24 starts. He led the team in starts and innings last year, 131 2/3. So, yeah. So I think, Paxton, he's 5 years older than Tyler Glass now, but like, is, you know, like I mentioned, in that same group, very good when healthy, hasn't really been healthy a lot. Now, Glass now obviously has the higher ceiling and he's younger. So that's why he got more money and he got the extension in addition to the trade. Paxton's fastball was still pretty good last year, which is a plus, but his curveball and cutter struggled. He throws those, at least last year, through about 35% of the time. Michael Aheto at Baseball Prospectus, he wrote a pretty good article about this. I will link to in the show notes. Quote, when he's healthy, Paxton is still very, very good, even without his best secondaries. Can he stay healthy? History says it's unlikely, but he's in a rotation that has the firepower to make it a less dire situation than others. So I think the Dodgers are going with it's like both a quantity and a quality approach. Like, he's mm-hmm. healthy. He's good when he's healthy, but also they have a lot of guys to back up those first five.
It's really a similar approach that you and I have talked about a lot in bullpen construction. It's just like, buy as many lottery tickets as you can. Get your stable, you should be goods, and then fill the rest with, we'll use your money to just get a bunch of tickets. And the nice thing, quote unquote, nice thing about the lottery tickets being more on the realm of injury risk is you have the IL. they're not going to take up, you don't have to deal with these roster issues versus, say, where the lottery tickets are a very volatile, high ceiling, low floor player, where in the realm of Noah Syndergaard, where you kind of have to make a decision, or Mr. Phantom IL can sometimes show up, but obviously that's a little dicier.
Yeah, in fact, I argued about a little more than a week ago that the Dodgers should, in fact, add one more relief pitcher. I was just kind of looking at the roster. Like we mentioned, they have a lot of their guys on the 40-man are starters. Now, they could obviously call some of those guys up in relief, like Kyle Hurt, Nick Frasso, like potentially could be relief guys. But actual bullpen guys, they could probably use another one. And I wrote that, and then literally, I think within a couple of hours, they're like, Dodgers signed James Paxton. they could do both. That's not going to – but it's just funny. And also maybe that reliever comes in the form of Daniel Hudson or Nabil Crismat, someone like that. So those two are on minor league deals. They're part of the non-roster invitee group. So that very well could happen. But like we mentioned, Emmett Sheehan is almost certainly the next guy in line on the depth chart. They have a lot of those young extra starting pitchers. Michael Bauman at Fangraphs, I will also link to him in the show notes. He sort of intimated that the Dodgers seem comfortable in betting that they'll find a way to get their 162 starts out of some combo. But I think they're someone like Paxton is someone also who, at least if he's healthy, could be someone who could pitch for them in October. And as we saw, they kind of just ran out of October guys they would trust last year. So but this is what Bauman wrote, quote, expectations for Paxton are relatively low and compared to others, he has the potential to be usable in the playoffs. So that seems right to me. And you could also argue if the Dodgers have to start Paxton in the playoffs, they're kind of in a bad spot anyway, but that's, you just want to have options. And I think this just gives them another option. But with Paxton, and aside from not yet signing or acquiring another reliever, the roster does seem pretty full. It from a 40-man perspective, it literally is right now. There's 40 people on it. But once spring training opens, the 60-day injured list opens up. Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin are almost certainly going to start the year on that because they're not going to pitch for a long time, if at all, this season. So that would open up room. Now, this is when we've talked about, like, you know, Clayton Kershaw returning at some point, and even when he gets signed, you could sign him and then put him on the 60-day IL to open up another spot, like, you know, that sort of a thing, because he's not going to pitch for a while. But they're going to have some options. But like we mentioned, spring training is like right around the corner. Because of the South Korea trip, they even start earlier than the Padres, who they're playing in Korea. The Dodgers' first spring workout, pitchers and catchers workout, is February 9th. That's next Friday. The Padres don't work out till 2 days later. But yeah, we're there. Like, Dodgers sent out earlier Thursday a picture of the truck. It was truck day at Dodger Stadium. They loaded the spring training, like, semi truck full of stuff. I remember back in the early blogging days, this is probably it was probably 2010 at the latest, if not 2009. But I just remember, like, trying this, being very excited for truck day, and like, but also, you know, you also wasn't like as much in the know, not that I'm like super insider now, but like, you know, getting, I just remember one year they showed the truck and I forgot there was like a bag in the picture of the back of the truck. And I'm like, wait, what number is that? And then I look and I, like, I think figured out like a signing or something from that, or like a minor league signing. So, like, you know, it's not that level of stuff now, but it's pretty funny. But I do enjoy truck day. Some folks who are not back on the Dodgers roster are Justin Turner and Jock Peterson. They both signed 1 year deals elsewhere. This week, Turner landed with the Blue Jays. It's going to be his third American League East team. Jock Peterson is in Arizona. That's his third NL West team. I have a question for you in a second on that. I just want to note, I believe, I didn't see Toronto's, I don't have Toronto's tweet in front of me, but I believe both players were listed as DH / something, DH first. So, like, that's where they're kind of at right now in terms of how they're, like, thought of. I think it's, you know, because I don't know what they're going to do with, like, Brandon Belt. Although, who knows? But anyway, it's just interesting. But that brings me to the trivia question. Jock Peterson related.
I hate this question.
So, 1 year deal, Arizona, for Jock Peterson. It's his third National League West team. He's also played for the Dodgers and Giants. Catcher Austin Wins, who's now with the Reds, is also an NL West three-teamer. Giants, Dodgers, and Rockies. He actually played for all three of those teams just last year as well. The only two players to play for all five NL West teams are Matt Hergis and Steve Finley. My question to you is, how many players have played for four teams in the NL West, and how many can you name? But before we go to break, my hint to you is all five teams have at least one everyone but us four player guy, like, so just so I, the number's at least five. That's my hint to you.
All right, well, I at least will guess the number, then we'll take a break, and then it'll be questions from Craig after this.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
How many players have played for four of the five NL West teams?
Yep.
And I said four if I'm not at least four because I was going to get away
with
exactly
saying four.
Matt Hurgis and Steve Finley. I have been literally thinking of this question since we started recording, and I have come up with zero names. Not just like zero names that I'm confident about, zero names to guess. I'll get someone that I'm like, I'm pretty sure is three, but I'm confident they're not any other. So I might have no names for you. My guess on the number is 20.
Okay, so it's at least five, and you said 20.
Yeah.
It's the number is actually 11.
Okay. All right. That's in the range of what I was. 20 was on the high end.
Do you have?
No.
I'll give you two hints or all one right. hint for two players. There is a junior and a senior. They're not related.
Tony Gwynn Jr.
No.
Really? I thought
he might only be a Dodger Padre in the NL West group.
He got around a little bit. The junior and a senior. Hairston Jr.?
Nope.
Am I running out of juniors here?
So I will say the senior was not, I mean, this is seems obvious, but he was not called senior when he played.
But
is also easily the more famous of the of his name.
Nope, tapping out.
All right, I will give you. Okay, we'll land on the missing. Okay, let's go missing from the Dodgers first. Alan Embry, a reliever, played for the other four.
Never would have guessed it.
Sean Estes, a starting pitcher, also played for
maybe
the other four.
I could have guessed that.
The person before we went to break, I said I do not remember who this is. Chris Jones, who is an outfielder, he played for the non-Dodgers NL West teams. Everyone else played for the Dodgers at least once, obviously. This is the team. There's three players that missed the Diamondbacks only. He's listed now as Trent Hubbard. When I watched him play, I'm fairly certain everyone called him Trinidad Hubbard, sort of a utility guy. Mark Sweeney, famous pinch hitter, famously got doubled off on a foul ball at first base to end a game when he was with the Dodgers. Very boneheaded play. The senior I was talking about was Eric Young.
Okay. Yep.
The junior who did play for the Dodgers did not play for the Rockies. Jose Cruz Jr. Famous 2005 Dodger. Famous 2004 Dodger. Terrible catcher down the stretch. Brent Main played for every team in the division but the Padres. So the Rockies and Padres have just the one player who were every team but them. The Giants have three players. Henry Blanco, who did not play for the Giants but played for the other four. John Garland. Played for the Dodgers two separate occasions. And then Denys Reyes, left-hander who was compared to Fernando Valenzuela when he debuted at age 20 and stopped a Dodger streak. I believe it was like 681 straight games starting a right-handed pitcher. And he was a left-hander that stopped that streak. It's by far the major league record. So that's your group. It's an eclectic group.
You said two or three names I had a shot at naming, so
right. I was looking at it, I'm like, That's why I went with junior and senior, because I think that those were like the main two. I think that was maybe.
If you had, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I had just no shot. like, if I had just kept naming names, maybe I would eventually land it up. But yeah, there are so many people that I kept thinking of famous journeymen who had played with teams. And I'm like, I kept hitting three, you know, I got to two or three teams. And I'm like, I know they didn't play for the others. Well, here we go. Well, it's been a while, but it's time for our favorite segment, because it's time for
Questions from Craig.
Five questions. This is a little stalled. We got these sent a little earlier because I had a very busy weekend. But congratulations to former Dodger Adrian Beltre on his first ballot Hall of Fame election. And with that in mind, this week's trivia will be all about Dodger Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. Hideo Nomo is my favorite Dodger. This is not the trivia questions. Is my go-to, just because first him along with Piazza were the two first two names that I remember learning. Of like, this game, it's baseball. Nomo Mania was going on.
Unbelievable time. Yeah.
But the as a actually paying attention and could kind of explain stats and stuff, Adrian Beltre's 2004 was
big.
So very happy time for me. I was very sad when they didn't re-sign him, but hey, he made a wonderful run for it, mostly in Texas. All right, there's my Adrian Beltre bit. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, Adrian, making sure I'm not about to just read off answers. Adrian Beltre's 3,818 plate appearances is the most of any Hall of Famer in an LA Dodgers uniform. There are three wildcard era position LA Dodger player Hall of Famers that had less than 100 plate appearances in that time period. Can Eric name them? Hall of Fame position players. When I first read this question, I missed that bit.
So the fun fact about that, so before I answer a quick question, I just want to point out how I think Steve Henson wrote about this in the LA Times too, in a separate way. I had something in my piece that by both either Fangraphs War or Baseball Reference War, for the LA Dodgers, Adrian Beltre has the fifth highest of any Hall of Famer. They just haven't had a lot of Hall of Famers from like the LA Dodgers, right? Who played for them. And so the funny part, I was looking because like Mike Piazza is the other position player Hall of Famer. When Craig wrote that he had the most plate appearances, I looked, and he did. He had like 800 more. Piazza just had barely over 3,000 with the Dodgers. Now he's not one of these answers. But getting back to his question, so
I have Piazza only having 1,900 for what it's worth.
He said wild card error, but yeah, okay,
that's okay. Probably, that's sorry. Yeah, there you go.
I think if you want to get technical. Not that it matters to this. Wildcard era actually started in 1994, but there was a strike.
You bring this up every time.
But again, it's the same. Doesn't change any of the ordinals or whatever. So fewer than 100 plate appearances with the Dodgers, but is a Hall of Famer.
And I am gonna stress in the wildcard era.
No, yeah. So for the first two obvious ones are Jim Thome and Ricky Henderson.
Correct and correct.
Whew, okay.
I'm going to stress plate appearances in the wild card era. Perhaps this player had plate appearances with the Dodgers prior to the wild card era.
Right. He's forcing me to recognize what never happened. Oh, damn it. Oh, fine. Eddie Murray and his stupid double play against the Giants, which Grant Frisby loves bringing up in a pennant race in 1997. God dang it. Okay. Yeah, sure.
There you go.
Fine. Everyone has their fun. Okay.
Who had more Hall of Fame teammates in their major league careers? Dodger manager David Roberts or broadcaster Eric Karras?
This is so formal.
Bonus points if you could name them.
So I looked at this question when I copied it, and I was fascinated by it, but not fascinated enough to like think about it more than anything. So, okay. So K Karros played after the Dodgers with Cubs, A's. That might be it. Roberts was Red Sox, famously. Padres, Giants. Okay, so off the top, so Roberts in 02 to 04 with the Dodgers would have been Beltre. Ricky was then. Okay. 2002 to 2004. And then David Ortiz with the Red Sox. That team. Oh, I also had Pedro. Eric Karros also played with Pedro. Karros also played with Beltre.
So far, so good.
Okay, so then Sosa didn't make the Hall of Fame, so that like throws a wild card into this. I can't think of like the rest. Like I was gonna, well, Dave Roberts played with Bonds. Well, doesn't matter because he's not in the Hall. So I am just gonna say, Roberts because I can't think of the other people.
It is Roberts.
Yeah,
I'm trying to decide if I want to make you guess any more of the players. You missed.
Frank,
you,
did Karros play with Frank Thomas?
He did not.
Okay.
I'll go. Karros played with five, all with the Dodgers. So you missed.
Murray.
Eddie Murray and Gary Carter.
Nice.
You had forgotten that Dave Roberts started his career in Cleveland with Roberto Alomar, Harold Baines, and Jim Thome.
Wow, nice. Baines on that team. Good Lord.
You missed one Hall of Famer that he played with as a Dodger. You want to take a stab at it? This is Dave Roberts.
That would be 2002 to 2004.
A recent electee.
Right. No, not him. Yeah, it's not coming to me.
This hint will really work. Fred McGriff. That was my best
Manske. That's right.
You got Ortiz and Pedro, and then I do want to see if you can get this. Dave Roberts played with two Hall of Famers on his stint in San Diego.
Oh, Piazza. And who was the other late career guy there? Trevor Hoffman.
There you go.
Good job. Nice.
Since 1995, five Hall of Famers have played at least half their games at third base. Beltre leads that group with 2,933 games played. Who are the other four third base Hall of Fame players that joined Beltre?
Chipper Jones.
Yep.
No, I'm going through the.
I got half right when I did this played by myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for you. No, I'm just kidding.
And you have one, and two is more than one. Just wanted to get that.
Now these are Hall of Famers, that were elected since '95, or like.
Sorry, to trying to figure out how he's putting this. Let's go with that for now.
Okay, so George Brett then for sure.
No, so let's not go with that.
Okay, because all right, then it's played since '95.
Yeah, so it's going to be similar to the first question, I believe. So it's of the plate appearances in 95, half.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm just not thinking of third baseman now.
Yeah, and again, this is the thing where doing the plate appearances cutoff at 95 for a career that perhaps started earlier is going to mess with your thinking.
Well, okay, so the other... Oh, my brain's going through, okay, when did A-Rod move to third? I'm like, wait, well, he's not in the Hall of Fame. I'm wasting all this time on that.
That line of thinking is smart, though. Yeah.
So, oh, since 95. So Cal Ripken, then.
There you go. Yeah, and that's who I... Yeah. That was the other
okay.
one.
Okay. Then, yeah, I don't... Oh, who?
Okay. The remaining two are career primary third baseman.
Right. And I'm... Oh, Scott Rolen.
Scott Rolen.
And then... who was a...
Famous baseman. Third baseman, famous bar fight.
Oh, Wade Boggs?
Wade Boggs.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Nice.
Where's my cheat sheet? Adrian Beltre hit two home runs off one Hall of Fame pitcher in his LA Dodger career. Who is that fellow Cooperstown pitcher?
The only one that came to mind, and I'm not even that certain of this, I think it's Randy Johnson.
It is Randy Johnson.
Okay.
See? You did great. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Max Muncy has hit 175 home runs as an LA Dodger. Muncy is two behind Mike Piazza, 28 behind Matt Kemp, and 36 behind Steve Garvey. For the contest, give us the total number of games in 2024 it will take to pass Piazza, Kemp, and Garvey this season.
Okay.
If you think Muncy will fall short of any of these targets, you can say that too. I like how you phrase it. Like, if you want to be a hater and think Muncy won't hit 36 home runs.
I will. That was going to go to that first. Muncy's not going to hit 36.
He's going to hit 40 home runs this year.
Okay, so you have to guess a date.
Yep, I do.
Or games, right?
Yeah, game number.
Yeah, Garvey is 36. He's actually 75 years old, but no... Matt Kemp is, no, what? Yeah, two behind Piazza, 28 behind Kemp. Got it. Do you want to take a stab at one of these?
Max Muncy will pass Mike Piazza in game. Pass or hit? Or pass. Okay, so three home runs.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Game 10.
Game 10. Three home runs. But I am, and I'll say 14. For Piazza. So, you want me to go first? So, no, I already said Garvey's not going to get it. You want to just do Garvey and then...
Game 150.
150. So, okay. So then, when will he hit his 29th home run to pass Matt Kemp? I say game 151. True hater pick.
God,
if you had any pride, you'd say 148 right now, because he's going to go two straight four home runs.
125.
All right. We're going to look back in this and go, yeah. What are we doing again?
How did we not know he would break the record? The first.
When is he going to pass Ron Say? He's only 53 behind. Anyway.
The first magazine subscription I ever had was for Sports Illustrated. I believe I first got in high school. Did either of you ever subscribe to a magazine or newspaper? And if so, what was that publication? I love the idea of me, of like 7-year-old me subscribing to the Wall Street Journal or the Economist.
So my brothers are 10 and 15 years older than me. And for a while, my mom, like for Christmas, one of the gifts from her to them was that year's subscription to Sports Illustrated. And then I started getting it, I think, when I was 9 in like 1985. So like I had Sports Illustrated for a long time and it was, you know, great. I loved it. In we had different, usually had the Desert Sun, which was the Palm Springs newspaper, but also at times we had the Press Enterprise, which was Riverside, but it was like we're in Riverside County. Funnily enough, Lyle Spencer was a columnist for the Press Enterprise in Super Bowl 25, the Bills Giants one, the Scott Norwood game. In his pregame prediction, he says, call the Giants in an upset 20-19, and damn it if that wasn't the exact final score. Years later, I think it was my first full-time spring training, and he was there for part of it. And I told him that story. I said, man, I love that you predicted it right. And he obviously didn't remember any of that, but it was just, he had a big kick out of that. So that was fun. So I did subscribe to, weirdly enough, the year I was in the dorms in college. Oh no, I didn't subscribe. I would just get it I would get the LA Times out of the newsstand, which no one knows what a newsstand is anymore. But and it was like a quarter too. God.
So you had enough change to use the payphone and call. That's right. Call your bookie.
And so it was wild. Then for a little while in college and like after, there was the thing where, you know, you would get the sometimes it was an insert in a magazine itself. But it would be like, here's all these discount magazines. Like, I'm certain I had Newsweek for a while, Entertainment Weekly, of course. I had Maxim of, you know, whatever. Don't judge me. But then, I had Sporting News in high school, I think.
This is a really interesting, a little bit age gap, but also just because of my dad very technologically focused, I was on the internet really early. So for the most part, like, I could totally see me having maybe not Maxim friend, but Sports Illustrated, Sporting, like,
you're an FHM guy.
More of them.
It was for him magazine. So yeah.
I have a firm memory of two, though. I was in Cub Scouts, so I had a subscription to Boys Life, mm-hmm. which I remember like the really weird, like, gizmos they would, like, the electric buzzer when you go to handshake, like weird ads for stuff like that. I never sent away for any of them, I think. But the one I really liked, my brother has a subscription to Nintendo Power, so if he didn't, I would have. But I was able to just leech off him. And then Nickelodeon magazine was my,
oh my god, was my big one,
which was
good.
Actually really real, like, I a lot of fond memories, because it wasn't just look at the what's the upcoming for Doug or Rugrats. It was actual, like, it kind of well written for the, you know, sort of late elementary age that I was.
Had I been in the later generation, I bet SI for Kids would have been awesome as a kid. But it wasn't around when I was a kid. So, like, it's the old Mitch Hedberg joke. Like, any books, a children's book, if the kid can read. But I forgot. My mom also had a subscription to TV Guide, the little
so
magazine.
So did we.
And that's my favorite, like, crossword, weekly crossword to do. That was, and plus it was like easy. I was, my grandma was like big into like crosswords, where to the point where she had a crossword dictionary that was the most dog-eared book I've ever seen in my life. She poured through every page of that thing. It was amazing. But you made me think about the time gap between us. I had one friend who had access to the internet in high school, and it was like our senior year, and he had Prodigy, and it was
that's what we had.
That meant we got on. I was maybe at his house online for like a total of 27 minutes total senior year. I did not have my own computer until junior year of college. They're outside of like occasionally going to the like basement computer lab in the library at UCSD. That was like my only like internet time, really.
There's been a family computer almost as long as I can remember. And I had my first computer sixth grade, I think, fifth grade.
Yeah. I used to love getting the getting the magazines when they would come.
Now you can just sign up for newsletters, right? Same thing.
I do.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
As of this writing, JD Martinez and Kike Hernandez are still free agents. What are your thoughts on their possible landing places with spring training camps opening up in a few weeks?
So it seems like the jock Justin Turner thing is like sort of greasing the wheels for that sort of type, and more for JD Martinez, like the these teams need a DH. It is funny to sort of think about in one level that in Arizona, Jock Peterson is replacing Tommy Pham. You know, that's pretty funny. But JD Martinez was also rumored to the Diamondbacks. You could see a scenario that's probably tougher now since they literally, not that this is finalized, but they listed him as like DH slash outfielder, Jock Peterson. So they're not going to, I don't think they're going to sign JD Martinez now. But like also they were linked to Justin Turner in that sort of hybrid role. So like, I would imagine, I think the Marlins are like in the mix. He's like from there. Kiki Hernandez is funny. Like before they saw the Dodgers signed Teoscar Hernandez, I kind of expected the Dodgers to sign Kike Hernandez just to fill out the position player roster. Yep. And here's a weird point. So last week, Ken Rosenthal at The Athletic had a notes column, and this is the way he worded the sort of update on Kike Hernandez. Quote, the Angels continue to show interest in free agent Kike Hernandez, but fear he prefers a return to the Dodgers, according to a source briefed on the team's discussion. So, at this point, the Dodgers had already signed.
Are the Dodgers just rent free in Artie Moreno's head, you think?
I mean, that's definitely possible. But I just thought that it was worded that way. It was so funny. But like, but you could also see them like, you know, they got Manuel Margot to get Tyler Glasnow. Now, Manuel Margot is also a useful piece who could definitely play a role. But you could also see a scenario where they just trade Manuel Margot for something and then bring Kike, but like if they just want the true utility of that, you know, even though he's not necessarily like great shakes defensively, like at any of the positions, I don't know of anymore, but like, yeah, it's interesting. And also I think Margot is probably the better right-handed bat. So like, I don't know if it actually fits, but like, it's just funny to think that they could still do that. Like, I'm not putting it past them, but like that would be definitely an interesting thing. Well, the other thing is, as we're recording tonight, I joked before we started that, well, I guess we're not going to do the Dodgers should trade for Corbin Burnes podcast because literally earlier Thursday, the Brewers traded Burnes to the Orioles. It was funny, like, on multiple Effectively Wild episodes, they were rightfully talking about how the Orioles are like so good and have not done a thing this offseason and they absolutely need pitching. What are they doing? Why aren't they getting pitching? Earlier this week comes out that the Angelos family selling a stake in the Orioles and the new people coming in are going to be the controllers. And part of that group is Cal Ripken. Now, obviously, he's not making the moves, but like, what a great, it's like, it's not Magic Johnson because Magic wasn't a Dodger, but like it's more than that.
He also
doesn't
tweet like Magic Johnson. So
the what?
He also doesn't tweet like Magic Johnson.
But he does have a basketball hoop famously at his house, and like he played very competitive games there. So, and I took a picture with Cal Ripken Jr. at a company convention in 2007. anyway, now they got like this new ownership group. Who are coming in, and all of a sudden the Orioles are like, you know what? You're right. We do. Let's do this. And then, so that's interesting. I brought that up because, okay, the Brewers did that. Their other person who's going to become a free agent for them after the season is Willy Adames, shortstop. That's another like, okay, what are the Dodgers thinking? Because the Dodgers, every time you'd bring up, if the Dodgers go for Burnes, they're going to get Burnes and Adames, right? And then it's a matter of, okay, what does that mean for Gavin Lux? Is Gavin Lux going back to Milwaukee and part of the deal? Are they confident that Lux can be shortstop? Just put it in the back of your mind, like, Willy Adames, are the Brewers shopping him? Are the Dodgers interested? Like, what's happening there? It would be another one of those, like, okay, but what's the other move? Because they already have like 13 position guys. Right. So like, so it's just a very interesting time. Like they're kind of set, but maybe they're not, you know, like who knows, but that's where they're at.
If you partake in breakfast burritos, do you like the pan-fried potatoes, hash browns, or tater tots? Or do you prefer a breakfast sandwich? I am allergic to eggs, so I don't know. Can't really do a breakfast burrito without eggs, right? Like,
man,
I'll go to these. I love everything, every other breakfast food I love. But egg is just, it's the binder of all of them. Like, of all, any non, like, other than, like, biscuits and gravy, every other breakfast order somehow has eggs involved. And I always feel like a doofus. You know, can I get that hash without the eggs on top? You can.
I love scrambled eggs so much. I love this question. First, I will say, I think I prefer a breakfast sandwich, but it really depends on the mood.
What bread vehicle, bread-esque item do you prefer?
So, the thing is, I don't like. There's probably two main fast food ones that I would go to, and it's either the Burger King croissant sandwich, or either the go to at McDonald's is a sausage McMuffin with no egg.
I do get a sausage biscuit I really don't like McDonald's with one exception, and it's sausage biscuit.
But I was gonna say, and their sausage biscuit is fantastic. But it's like, it really has to be like a, either like I had to leave the house early, which is rare since I usually work from home. And like, if I'm covering a game, I'm not leaving the house during breakfast hours. So like, it's very specific, like, oh man, I really have a craving for that. But then there's the other thing where I don't really make a burrito at home, whether it's breakfast or otherwise, because I'll just make all the stuff, you know, like anyway by itself. But I love a breakfast burrito at the same time. Like, I think the pan fried potatoes are the way to go. The sort of what is usually presented as breakfast potatoes, but it's just like cube potatoes, you know. Any of them work in there, like hash browns. I don't know if I've had like tater tots, but it's the same idea of like hash browns or whatever. I don't think you have to have potato in there. Like, it's fine.
And I do want to clarify something for you. I always grew up the breakfast potatoes you're talking about. Those are always were home fries for me. Is there a difference for you? Okay.
I don't think I had it enough, you know, growing up. My idea of hash browns is usually like the diner style hash browns, where it's like
a little bit,
you know, crispy on top or whatever. But then,
very
like
crispy and just super shredded and so good.
Yes, exactly. And like, I love that so much. Like, that's one of the things I do like. I'll occasionally my cousin and her family and my aunt and uncle, when I go see them, a lot of times we will just go and meet for breakfast in this little place, and it's always like, oh, we'll get eggs and hash browns, and it's wonderful, and it's that.
Yeah, my like, go-to breakfast order, eggless, is a half order of B&G with a side of hash browns with American cheese on top.
Wait, what's B&G?
Biscuits and gravy. You gotta move to the Midwest.
So breakfast burrito, I like, I don't like to decide. So if there's a place, there is a couple places near me that you could do all three meats, ham, sausage, and bacon in there. And it's not, you know, and it's very good, but like with egg, and I think there's a little bit of potato and there's cheese, and it's awesome. But I was just thinking, I love breakfast so much. I make eggs like almost every day at home, and with like other, like, you know, vegetables and other stuff in there. But I also made salsa recently, and I know, so you're allergic to eggs, and you're not allergic to cilantro. You just like hate the taste, or it's like, it doesn't register with you or something. Like,
It is a. I have a psychosomatic allergy. If I eat enough cilantro, I go into as if I had food poisoning. I get really nauseous.
So and no, headache. And that I get it. Like I'm not. I actually
like the taste of cilantro generally.
So the funny part is, so like literally, I think the last probably 3 or 4 days, I've made eggs and then put my homemade salsa that has bunches of cilantro in it. Over the eggs, like, so I'm like, oh, that's a nightmare. But no, it's yeah, but you can't go wrong. Like, these are all good. Yeah, so the sausage biscuit at McDonald's is awesome. My only thing there is I prefer the McMuffin only because it's like the McDonald's. It's not the same, but in my head, it's the In-N-Out fries conundrum in that it's the least likely to get screwed up if you get the McMuffin. whereas you could get a biscuit that's not quite hot and fluffy.
Sure.
And that's a bad situation where, like, you know, you can get In-N-Out fries and be like, oh God, these are terrible. Like, but, yeah. So I don't know. That's a long way of saying that's why, but they're all good. So yeah. Anyway, after you listen to this, go enjoy your breakfast sandwich, your breakfast burrito, whether you like eggs or not. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We will be back with you relatively soon. The Dodgers are having Fan Fest this weekend. We're going to talk a little bit about that and what to look for as they head into spring training, which starts next week. But that's it for us. We're the 3-Inning Save Podcast. I am Eric Steven. That's Jacob Birch. We had questions from Craig Manami, and our producer is Brian Salvatore. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you in a few days.